KXI, Seattle. And the time at KIXI now, 10 p.m.
CBS News. Another Japanese fishing boat is reported missing in waters not far from Soviet territory. It's the sixth incident of its kind recently, and Japanese officials believe they may be related to the diplomatic wrangle over the defection of a Soviet pilot in a MiG-25 fighter plane. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The latest fishing boat incident, the Japanese Coast Guard reports, found the vessel radioing a message. A Soviet patrol boat is approaching. If we make no further contact, we are seized. There was no further contact. The Japanese Foreign Ministry delivered a stiffly worded note to the Soviet embassy in Tokyo Wednesday, accusing the USSR of groundless slander when it charged that the defecting MiG pilot, Viktor Belenko, had been taken to the United States against his will. And in Washington, Belenko himself met with Soviet officials to state personally that he does not wish to return to the Soviet Union. While Soviet relations with Japan appear to be curdling, the USSR's long, icy relations with China may be in thaw. From Moscow, Bernard Redmond reports.
A slender olive branch is being waved from Moscow in the direction of Peking. The Soviet press has gone out of its way to pay a tribute to a dead Chinese poet who favored Sino-Soviet friendship. It's the 95th anniversary of the birth of the poet Lu Xun, ordinarily not a major milestone. The Soviet Literary Gazette praises him as a great Chinese who saw the way to a happy future for his country in friendship with the Soviet Union. The official news agency TASS quotes this too. Such matters are no accident here. Propaganda attacks on China have been curbed since the death of Mao. Also, Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko said this week that a return to normal relations between Moscow and Peking would have a positive impact on the situation in Asia. It's too early to conclude that a rapprochement is being prepared, but the Russians obviously hope for more pro-Soviet currents in China now that Mao is gone. Bernard Redmont, CBS News, Moscow.
More CBS News after this.
Sorry, sir, but we don't serve breakfast on this flight.
No, I brought my own from McDonald's. You're
the one. With breakfast, you can take out and eat anywhere.
In the boardroom.
Yes, sir.
Yummy. Like a delicious egg McMuffin. Or fresh scrambled eggs and sausage with a toasted English muffin.
Under the spreading chestnut tree.
Or hot cakes and sausage with butter and syrup.
At the laundromat. What a tasty way to get your clothes clean.
From McDonald's.
I'm having scrambled eggs and sausage right here in the carpool on the way to work.
And I've just been found out.
Hi, I'm Denny Bracken. When you meet the cook with me here on most of these stations Monday through Saturday, he or she won't necessarily always be wearing a chef's hat. That's because a number of my guests are entertainers, sports figures, housewives, authors, anybody who enjoys cooking, sharing a favorite recipe or two, or just talking about food. Why don't you join us for an informal chat about prize recipes that may soon become prizes of your own when we meet the cook Monday through Saturday on most of the CBS Radio Network stations.
House and Senate conferees working late into the night have reached agreement on a compromise clean air bill which would delay car exhaust standards on two pollutants for another year. Under the proposal, 1978 model cars would have the same auto emission standards as the 1977 models. The Washington Post Thursday edition say President Ford has decided to hold a news conference sometime this week, possibly Thursday. He last met with reporters 3 weeks ago, and there has been increasing Democratic sniping about the president's so-called inaccessibility. Mr. Ford is certain to be asked about an inquiry by the Watergate Special Prosecutor's Office reportedly into some of Mr. Ford's campaign finances when he was a congressman. The newspaper says White House aides have expressed confidence the investigation will result in vindication. The president Wednesday vetoed a huge appropriations measure for social aid and education. He coupled the action with intense criticism of Congress for allotting $4 billion more for the measure than he had requested, calling it election year politics. Congress is expected to try to override the veto on Thursday. More news after this.
When nature is acting up like this, you'd better stay like this. So you can quickly and calmly go about the business of protecting your home and family. But without a plan, when you're suddenly surrounded by this, it's all too easy to get lost in the confusion. A lot of wasted, misdirected efforts that do no one any good. At the American Red Cross, we've had a lot of experience keeping our heads in emergencies. And we'd like to pass on to you some of the things we've learned over the years. So, just in case you should find yourself caught up in this, you'll be able to stay like this. Call your local Red Cross chapter today. We've learned that hurricanes, floods, and tornadoes are serious enough not to get excited about.
That sports rarity, a baseball no-hitter, was pitched by the San Francisco Giants' John Montefusco Wednesday night as his team beat the Atlanta Braves 9-0. It was the fourth no-hitter in the major leagues this season. The hurricane flags are up along the west coast of Mexico. Forecasters say Hurricane Liza is moving toward an early landfall, coming out of the Pacific with top winds of around 100 miles an hour. The storm is expected to sweep the Mexican coast from south to north. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
And this is KIXI Seattle Weather Outlook. Morning fog or low clouds with sunny and mild afternoons through Friday. Highs near 70, lows in the mid-50s. And in downtown Seattle currently, it's 59 degrees. The barometer holding steady. It reads 30.02. And taking a look at sports briefly, in Major League Baseball activity, as you just heard, John Montefusco pitched a no-hitter as the Giants defeated Atlanta 9-0. Elsewhere, Philadelphia over St. Louis 6-5. Chicago defeated Pittsburgh 1-0. Montreal 7, the Mets 2. Cincinnati lost to San Diego by a score of 6-1. And Los Angeles beat Houston 1-0. In the American League, the Yankees beat Boston 9-6. Milwaukee 6, Baltimore 3. Cleveland over Detroit 3-2. Minnesota down Texas by a score of 9-1. And in that important Kansas City-Oakland contest, at the end of six innings of play, Kansas City leads Oakland by a score of 3-0. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is coming up next on KIXI. The time is 7 past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents E.G. Marshall. Uncertainty, unfortunately, must always be the name of the game we are fated to play here below. Even the greatest book ever devised for our guidance can be used to support either side of an argument. Thus, we are told in one chapter, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. And in another, we are assured that the crooked shall be made straight. Well, since our concern at this time is with the crooked and the straight, you shall have the opportunity to decide for yourself.
I wish I could think of a way to raise money.
Go to a bank.
I don't think my credit's that good.
I didn't say go to a bank to borrow money.
But why else would I go?
Well, you can also go there to steal money.
To me? Rob a bank?
Sure.
Hey, who do you think I am?
I'll bet you that within 2 weeks, you'll say, okay, Walt, let's go rob that bank.
You're crazy.
Maybe. But that doesn't mean I'm wrong.
Our mystery drama, The Unthinkable, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Larry Haynes. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Well, sir, I see you're one of the many people who bought a new Buick Century.
That's right. Boy, you want to talk about roomy and comfortable. Just take a look in there. Go ahead.
But you have curtains hanging in your car.
Yes, and wallpaper, too.
Well, why's that?
Well, we like the Century so much, we decided to sell a house and live in it.
Huh. Well, doesn't that get just a little crowded?
Oh, I suppose it might after a while, but, well, we aren't home that much.
Oh.
Yeah, we got a little Skyhawk up north.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone. Here in my hand is a little capsule. It's Contact. It contains enough cold medicine to help relieve cold symptoms caused by every known virus. Think about that the next time you're sick. Sneezing, dripping, all clogged up. Then let us help you with real medicine, like Contact. We're number one in the whole world.
Give your cold to Contact. Real medicine for real cold.
Take only as directed.
Have you winterized your car yet? This is Gene King for the Council of Better Business Bureaus. You know, with winter not that far away, many motorists are looking for bargains in antifreeze products. But don't be fooled by so-called inexpensive solutions, which promise to do the same thing as regular antifreeze. These solutions usually contain methanol, a solution which boils away quickly. You could be hurting your car's engine rather than helping it run smoothly. You know, times are hard, but be sure you don't have to pay two prices. One for the so-called bargain antifreeze, and another for real antifreeze when the first solution boils away. Why not have your regular service station attendant check your antifreeze? If the mixture needs to be changed, don't buy just any antifreeze product. Check the label first. And while you're at it, it's a good idea to have the hoses and connections in the cooling system checked, too. This is a common trouble spot in winter.
What did you do today? If this was a working day, was it very much different from what you did yesterday or from what you will do tomorrow? For so many people, life is a routine, regular, predictable. And what did you believe yesterday? Is it different from what you believe today? When did you form your philosophy of life? When did you create your sense of values, your morality? When did you decide on what is right and what is wrong and where you would draw the line? Of course, there are those people who never make these decisions. They just go along from day to day and see what turns up.
Walt?
The man himself.
You're late.
Yeah.
Twins couldn't wait up.
I'm sorry.
Kids should always be able to say goodnight to Daddy, So how'd it go today?
Well, there was this ad. I'd been trying to reach the guy all day. Finally caught him at 4:30. Come out to see me right now, he said. I drove all the way to East Wellington.
Did you get the...
No, I didn't get the job.
I'm sorry.
You want to know something? I don't think I'll ever get a job.
I guess you're right. I don't think you're ever going to get a job.
Now, how can you say a thing like that?
Why not? You just said it.
Well, I can say it. I have the right to say it, but nobody else does.
Walt, you've been out of work for 16 months.
15. Don't you have any faith in my ability?
Your ability to do what?
Roxanne, what kind of conversation are we having?
A realistic conversation. I go by the record, by the facts.
Roxy, what am I supposed to think?
You are supposed to think, I would imagine, how to best spend your time without working at a job. Now, what other useful function might you perform?
The only useful function I can perform is to earn enough money to support this family.
Darling, obviously you can't do it.
Are you trying to destroy my morale?
I'm only stating the truth.
If I can't support this family, who can? We have 6-year-old twins. Do you propose to send them to work?
Well, I solved the problem.
You did? And may I ask how?
I got a job.
You got a what?
A job.
What do you mean you got a job?
A job. A situation. Employment.
Roxy, how could you get a job? You never worked a day in your life.
That has nothing to do with it. I discovered something today. You know what this entire situation is all about. There are those people who know how to get jobs and those who don't.
Really?
Now, you have been looking for almost a year and a half, and what's the result? Nothing. On the other hand, I go out, and in the first hour of the first day, at the first place I applied, I found it.
And what did you get? Some job as a waitress, for crying out loud?
No. I got a job in a bank as assistant to the manager.
Now, what are you talking about? What do you know about money?
Well, that's what the man asked me. You know what I told him? I said I know how to spend it. One thing led to another, and he said, unorthodox approaches and unorthodox people are what we need today. And so I start tomorrow, 9 to 3.
Well, you can't.
Why not?
Well, the kids get home from school at 1. Who's going to be here?
You are.
Me?
Well, you're not working.
Well, I can't stay home and take care of the kids.
You would be surprised how rewarding it is. I know. I've had 6 years of it.
But I'm an engineer.
Of course.
A graduate engineer. I'm a bachelor of science in electrical engineering.
And it's trained you to be very efficient. That means you'll clean the house faster and better than I ever could.
Now look here, Roxy. It's not my job to mind the kids and clean the house.
Whose job is it?
Well, it's yours.
Where does it say so?
Roxy, you can't ask me to hold still for your taking a job if it means I have to sit home.
Darling, I am not the one who's asking you. In reality, it is the landlord who's asking you, the grocer, the butcher.
Now, this is unthinkable.
I was brought up in a family and in a tradition where men worked at their jobs and women ran the house. Well, whatever the past, this was the present. And very likely the future. She had me. Our savings were just about gone. And what else could I do? Surprisingly, I did a good job. I organized that house. The cleaning, the marketing, the cooking. And I did it all in less than half the time it took her. And truthfully, I did it twice as good. And it wasn't very long before I discovered that I wasn't the only one in that boat. If it was a nice day, I'd go to the park and read a book on electronics. After all, I did have to keep up with the field. He was about my age. And he wheeled a little 2-year-old in a stroller. We started to talk one day. He was an architect. He couldn't find a job either.
It's not so bad, Walter.
Well, what are you saying,
well,
Phil?
So many of the things in our lives in this world, so many things are done in a certain way. And for no other reason than this is the way they've always been done.
No. Look, if you're going to start to say what I think you're going to say, drop it, huh?
This being an architect, I mean the doing, the creating, it's fine, it's wonderful. But the business of being an architect, the politics, the competing, the games you have to play with clients. I always hated it.
That's all part of it, Phil.
Business. Now, that's for Gloria. She thrives on it. She's with an ad agency, and already she's making more money than I ever did.
Now, what are you going to do? Throw in a towel? Spend the rest of your life doing this?
I'm relaxing. I'm reading. I'm enjoying life.
Oh, sure.
I have time for books.
So did I, at first. But wait. You've only had a month of it.
I've been browsing through the library, been looking up the plans of some of the historic buildings in the city. Hey, you know the Central National Bank, the oldest one in town?
No.
Well, come on, of course you do. Your wife works there.
Oh. You see, psychologically, I reject it.
Do you know there's an old sewer system that runs directly below their vault?
No, I didn't know that.
That's very interesting.
Is that a fact? I don't find it at all interesting.
You see, the bank used to be served by the old system till they built the new one, 40 years ago. And the entrance into the cellar of the bank has been closed off by a single metal plate.
Now, let's see. What am I going to serve tonight?
Now, all someone would have to do to get to the cellar vault is to find a way into that old sewer tunnel.
Now, which supermarket is running a special on fish?
And I looked up the old map, and I found the easiest place of access to that sewer.
Fish. And I'll make broccoli.
Would you believe? It's in the middle of the street, just outside the police station. Walt? The entrance?
Uh-huh. I'll make a vinaigrette and fruit salad.
Yeah, and from there, the tunnel leads you to the bank. It's less than 3 blocks away. So, any resourceful bank
robber... If there's no fish, I can get chicken.
No, I can tell you're not interested. You didn't hear a word I said.
You know something? That's what I thought. But the fact is, even though I didn't realize it, I heard every word he said. Even as he said it, without being aware of it, I knew what I wanted to do. Do what? Break into that vault, of course. There are so many things we decide without really being aware of the moment of decision. So many things that are unthinkable to our conscious mind have already been made acceptable by the secret sector of our being that determines the course of our lives. But as I say, I was not yet aware that I had made a decision, especially such a decision. Robbery? Why, that was unthinkable. Or so I thought. Until I had to meet her up at the bank one day. They were going to give her a dinner to celebrate, what do you suppose? Her promotion. She had just been given a raise and a better job. And there was this old geezer, one of the guards. Pop.
Can I help you?
Yes, I am looking for Mrs. Robinson's office.
Hey, okay, I'll tell her somebody wants to see her. What's your name?
I'm Mr. Robinson.
Huh?
I'm her husband.
Well, you can't be her... Okay, I'll tell her you're here.
Now, wait a minute. What made you say I can't be her husband?
Well, I didn't say that.
Well, you started to say it. Why?
Well, we just didn't figure she'd be married to a big, strapping guy like you. I bet you must weigh 220. You're at least 6'3". We figured, well...
What did you figure?
You'd have to be a little bit of a guy, kind of skinny with glasses.
Why?
Why? I don't know why.
Because I stay home while she works. Is that it? Because I clean and cook and mind the kids. Is that it? And that's not a man's job.
Well, I never said... Now, look, Mr. Robinson, I talk out of turn a lot. You can ask anybody, but I don't mean no harm.
Yeah, well, will you tell Mrs. Robinson that I can't join her this evening? And I'll see her at home. Maybe. Hello, 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 hello. And how did the dinner go? Hey,
that rhymes.
You're drunk.
And what if I am?
You better go to bed. We'll talk about it in the morning.
You see, I didn't want to get loaded in public. After all, my wife is an officer in a bank. And how would it look if her husband got tanked
up? I said we would talk in the morning.
Now, what's there to talk about?
I was embarrassed by the fact that it was my dinner and you couldn't be there.
Well, of course. Of course, especially since being Mr. Nobody, it would never occur to anyone that maybe I might have something important to do, that maybe I had a career that could possibly make demands of me.
Walter, you are not sober enough for us to have any sort of conversation.
Well, I guess they all had a pretty good laugh at my expense back there at the old bank.
That isn't true.
I bet they all say to you at the office, what a great wife you must have at home, Mrs. Robinson. Did you say his name was Walter?
Oh, please, Walt, this isn't getting us anywhere.
But the joke's on you. You too, don't you see it? They're also laughing at you because in their eyes, if I've become less of a man, then also you have to be less of a woman.
Walter, darling, please, you're making a mountain out of a molehill.
Which is what has to happen. Why are we leading this unnatural existence?
It is not an unnatural...
Money. You have to go out and make it because I can't get a job. Well, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Why did I say that? You know how I love animals.
Walt, please go to bed. You're not really a drinking man.
Oh, I have to go out. I am embarking on a great adventure.
At this hour?
Well, of course. When Columbus said to his wife, my dear, I'm going off to discover America, did she say, at this hour?
But where are you going?
I know a place where I can make a fortune.
Is that the place we're thinking of? Of course. Where else? Is it conceivable that he intends to rob the bank where she works? Sure. Does he intend to do it now? Tonight? There are some questions we simply refuse to answer until Act Two rolls around. Anna shall be here in just a few moments.
During fall and winter, lights out time for the sun gets earlier and earlier. And that means lights on time is earlier for you. So True Value Hardware Stores offer bright ideas on fall and winter lighting from General Electric. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you about them. The GE Wattmiser 4-foot 35-watt fluorescent lamp, just $217, is designed to reduce your electric bill by an average of about 14% a year over the standard 40-watt fluorescent lamps. True Value Hardware Stores also offer GE Grow and Show plant lights. They can supplement the shorter periods of natural light your plants get at this time of the year. Prices start at just $240. Or get GE Soft White Plus bulbs with the exclusive power coil filament that's stronger than regular filaments. They last up to twice as long as standard soft whites, so you won't need to replace them as often. Get these and other bright ideas from GE at participating True Value Hardware Stores. Remember True Value. It's more than just a name. It's their way of doing business.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. Sometimes He guides man indirectly. The warrior Gideon overheard a dream that led him into battle. Gideon heard a Midianite tell his comrade, "I had a dream. A cake of barley bread came rolling through the camp of Midian, and it reached the tent, struck against it, and turned it upside down." His comrade answered, "This can be nothing else than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has put Midian and all of its camp into his power." Gideon fulfilled the prophecy of the dream and freed his people from the multitude of Midianites. For your free booklet on dreams and visions, write to the Foundation Faith, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Faith, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
You know those people who walk the straight and narrow path all their lives? Who never budge an inch from the code of virtue, who never stray from their principles, who never falter from their convictions? Well, those are just the people who can fool you. Pay close attention.
All right. All right, I hear you. I'm coming. Who is it?
It's me, Phil. Walt.
Walt? Well, do you know what time it is?
It's 2:45.
In the morning.
And it's beautiful out. There's a silver glow in the sky. An eloquent silence lies over the earth.
What do you want?
I want to come in.
Walt, you're drunk.
Mm-hmm. I'm intoxicated. With insight, wisdom, perception.
Mm-hmm. You, want a cup of coffee?
No.
It's a lucky thing Gloria's visiting her sister.
Why? Would she object? Do we have to worry about Gloria because she is the one that pays the rent now?
Huh?
I am here to offer you a job.
What kind of a job?
Robbing a bank?
You're crazy. Where'd you get this ridiculous idea?
From you.
Now I know you're crazy. Look, you want me to drive you home?
No. Maybe we better have that coffee. You need time.
Time? What does time have to do with it? Walt, I would never break the law.
Yes, you would, and you will. Look at us. Two highly qualified and talented professionals, and we're out of work.
I would not violate the structures of society.
Society? What does society care about us? Society owes us the right to have jobs.
Oh, come on, Walter. No one has the right to be a criminal.
All right. Let's assume that that's
true. Well, it is. Let me tell you.
No. Let me tell you. You are being devastated by the role you're being forced to play just as I am.
Walt, I don't think there's any point to this argument.
Phil, I am here to save your manhood. You're an architect. You were meant to build homes, mighty towers of art and commerce and industry, cathedrals. You can't be satisfied washing baby diapers.
Now, look. My wife was summa cum laude at college. She won an international essay award. She's brilliant. Should she be imprisoned in the house with the diapers?
Now, don't start saying those things. You'll start believing them, and then you'll be lost. Sure, the world is unfair. It's always been unfair. It's been catastrophically unfair, especially to women, sure. But no woman, not even my own wife, is going to hand me the bill for 10,000 years of injustice and say, "Here, you pay for it."
All right, Walt, I don't mind. Use me as a sounding board. Get things off your chest.
My wife will not support me.
Look, let's see about the car.
We should be ready to rob the bank in about 2 weeks.
No! Walt, I couldn't do it. I want no part of it.
Then why did you suggest it?
But that That's what you said before. When did I ever suggest...
Oh, a week, 10 days ago, we were sitting in a park, and you told me about the abandoned sewer tunnel that led into the cellar of the Central National Bank. Now, why?
Well, because it was an architectural curiosity.
Yeah, but why that one? This town is loaded with architectural curiosities. Why an abandoned sewer that leads into a bank?
Well...
And I said, who cares? And you said bank robbers would find it interesting.
Walt, I never said any...
But you did. Now, why? Because the minute you read about it, the white-hot idea flashed through your brain.
Oh, you're...
Yeah, now, why? Why did you tell me about it? You were looking for a partner.
This is ridiculous.
Maybe, but that doesn't mean it isn't true. And you found the ideal partner in me. Because I happen to be an electrical engineer. You're the architect. You can find us the way in. But getting there is only half the fun. An electronics expert like me would be able to neutralize the alarm systems.
Walter, I can assure you nothing. Nothing like that even entered.
And to top it off, my wife works there. She not only works there, she's an executive. And I could find out strategic information about that alarm system.
Walter... You'd better leave.
No, this is the most important decision you'll ever have to make, Phil. So you sleep on it, huh?
I can only tell you this. It's unthinkable.
Yeah, I know. Yes, it was unthinkable. For about a week and a half. Which is par for the course. We met, as usual, on the park bench. And we talked about trivia, as usual.
This fella's gonna sign with the Blue Sox for $250,000 a year. Do you think they get all that, or is it just talk?
Oh, who knows?
Don't they have to pay a fortune in taxes?
Who cares?
When do you want to rob the bank?
On the first of the month.
Yeah. I rechecked the plans. The seal-off plate of the old sewer is exactly under the vault. Now, one problem.
Mm.
The alarm system. The outside of the vault, everything leading down to it from the bank... And the bank itself is wired.
Yeah, we know that.
But what about the inside of the vault?
Just leave that to me. More dessert, darling?
No, dear.
Just a little, huh? I made this special.
And I can't resist, but I'm gaining weight.
Oh, it's a plot. I want to make sure you're as unattractive as possible.
Oh, Walt. Do you think I'd ever look at another man?
Well, I want to make sure another man never looks at you.
You know, something's come over you these past few days. You seem very calm and, yes, fulfilled.
Well, maybe it's because I'm out of the rat race.
Oh, I can't tell you how happy I am. I never suspected my talent for business. I just take to banking as if I were destined for it.
Well, I'm glad, darling. More pie?
Oh, just a teeny piece.
Hey, you know, I'm happy, too, right here in the house. I have so much time for myself to think, read, study. You know, I should never have become an engineer.
Why, darling?
Well, I was always clever with my hands and good in math. So my folks said, let's make an engineer out of him. But you know what I really am? An inventor.
Well, that's marvelous. And now you have the opportunity
to...
Oh, how beautifully things have worked out. Are you thinking of any kind of... The particular thing?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I have a fantastic idea for a detection device.
Wonderful. What is it?
Yeah, you're adorable. Yeah, no, right now, it's nothing but some formulae in calculus, but I think it's revolutionary. I have one problem, however.
A problem?
Yeah, now, wait. Maybe you can help me.
Oh, darling, if there's anything I can do.
Yeah, you see... My knowledge of detection devices, I mean on a very highly sophisticated level, is at best theoretical, see?
Uh-huh.
And there'd be no way for me to examine the makeup of... unless I could see the one at your bank.
Ours?
Yeah. But I can tell, by the way that you said that it wouldn't be a good idea.
Oh, darling, it's a marvelous idea.
Well, then why did you hesitate?
Well, I was just caught off guard by the idea that I could be of help to you. Would it be helpful?
Gee, now that I think of it... Roxy, how would it look?
Show my husband the alarm system. I mean, you know.
Well, now, in the first place, I practically run the day-to-day business at that branch. And secondly, my husband is a highly skilled electronics technician.
Now, don't demote me, darling. I'm not a technician. I'm an engineer.
Oh, sweetheart, I didn't mean it. Well, you come in and talk with Ben Kennedy first thing tomorrow, after you get the kids off to school.
Not only marriages, but propositions, deals, ventures are also made in heaven. You know, I really couldn't believe how smoothly this thing was going. Ben Kennedy was one of the big wheels in charge of security. He was glad to see me, almost pathetically glad. Obviously, very few people ever came to see him or solicited his opinion. I learned more about burglar alarms than I could ever hope to use in a lifetime. But I had to hold still for it because sooner or later, I would decently be able to ask the one key question. Now, what you're telling me, Ben, is absolutely fantastic, but now, take your cellovault.
Yeah?
Is that live also?
Oh, sure.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, figure you've got crooks smart enough to neutralize all the alarms leading downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Figure they can open the vault.
Yeah.
Well, you see this plan?
Mm.
Once they step inside, we have circuits.
Ah.
Yeah, these little beams of invisible lights.
Uh-huh.
No way they can take two steps inside without breaking a circuit and activating an alarm.
A silent one.
Oh, hey, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
but now, look, suppose you have to do some work or repairs down there at night. How do you deactivate that system?
You can't.
Oh. Well, suppose someone has to work at night.
You can't from inside the bank. That's the beauty of it. These crooks. They're clever. They can figure out where the main box for the alarm is located. They think when they disconnect that, they're home free. But the control for the vault, that's outside.
Oh.
Yeah, in back of the building, right beneath the electric meter. You can hardly see it. Who'd think to look? You know, a small box?
Sure.
You just open it, turn this switch.
Well, hey, that certainly is the cleverest idea.
Yeah. Look, is there anything else I can tell you?
Well, I guess you've told me everything.
But why Friday night?
Because the bank is closed Saturday and Sunday. Nobody will miss anything till after the weekend. Now, about your wife?
She thinks you and I are going bowling.
Okay, that checks with my story.
Yeah.
Now, getting in is your department, though. How do we do it?
Well, according to these plans...
Mm-hmm.
How beautifully they sketched them in the old days. A work of art. Well, anyway, there's a manhole in the middle of the street in front of the police station.
Right.
We go down, we move 600 feet.
Mm-hmm.
On the right is a sealed plate. That separates the new sewer system from the old one. We remove the plate,
mm-hmm.
and we are now in the old system.
Ah.
Now, 300 feet south is the plate that separates the old system from the vault. We remove that plate...
Now, just a minute. How are we going to get down the manhole carrying all kinds of tools in clear view of the police station? You've got cops looking out of every window.
There is absolutely nothing to it.
Are you crazy? No, he wasn't crazy. Do you know what we did? We hired a half-ton pickup truck, some iron railings, a sign that said men at work. And bold as brass, we stopped right in the middle of the street in front of the police station and set up shop. And you want to know something else? It was midnight. They were even changing shifts. And don't you know, there was a sharp, smart, veteran-looking sergeant. He even sauntered over to the manhole where we were putting up the rail and the sign. And he said...
You guys working late, huh?
Ah, the city's a hard mistress.
You can say that again. What are you going down there for?
We're looking for buried treasure.
Well, now, you got to realize that everything you find, you have to turn over to the property clerk's office.
All right, how about if we split it with you instead, huh, Sarge?
can you cut in the lieutenant, too?
Yeah, sure, there's enough for everybody.
See if you can find me some of them pieces of eight, huh?
Yeah, coming up. Well, Phil and I went down into that manhole, just like Alice went down into the rabbit hole. And there we
were in a wonderland of tunnels. Do people really know what goes on underneath the very streets they walk on? Without any trouble at all, we made our way to the plate to close this sewer off from the old one. With very little trouble, we removed the plate and entered the ancient and abandoned sewer. With even less trouble, we found the plate that separated the tunnel from the bank vault. And with practically no trouble, we removed the plate. And there we were, in the cellar vault of the Central National Bank. And there, all around us, was money. And Phil could hardly believe it.
Walt. Oh, Walt.
What is it?
Is it possible? Is it possible? Can it really be so easy? Can it?
You must admit, there hasn't been a hitch so far. Well, now, what do our boys have to do? Simply fill their sacks with as much money as they can carry and go out the same way they came in. However, you know that Act 3 will bring storms in just a few moments.
At the Opelousas Suzu Information Center of America, pandemonium reigns as thousands of people try to find out what one is.
Hello, Opelousas Information Center.
Say, I think I've got an Opelousas.
Good for you, sir. Can you describe it?
Well, it's about 4 feet high, brown, tan hair on its neck. It's got cute little eyes.
Sir, I believe that's a Shetland pony.
Oh, yeah. I can see that now.
See the little hoofs?
Opelousas, a great new little car at your Buick Opel dealers.
Hemorrhoid sufferers, the proof is here. Proof from leading doctors and hospitals of a medication that helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. It's doctor-tested, hospital-tested Preparation H. Hundreds of tests prove that in many cases, Preparation H gives prompt temporary relief of occasional pain and itch and helps shrink swollen, inflamed hemorrhoidal tissues. Preparation H, ointment or suppositories, use only as directed. Doctor-tested, hospital-tested Preparation H helps shrink swollen hemorrhoidal tissues.
Miss Armstrong? Miss Armstrong?
Yes?
May I ask you a few questions?
Well, I am rather rushed.
It'll only take a minute.
Oh, all right.
Thank you. Miss Armstrong, I hear you're going into seclusion for the most important production of your life. What's it going to be?
I'm not quite sure.
But how do you prepare for something without knowing what it is?
Oh, my doctor will help me. You see, this is very different from my other roles. Oh, and I must follow all of his orders.
Your doctor?
Yes. First, I must set up regular appointments with him.
Uh-huh.
Eat well-balanced and nourishing meals, exercise moderately.
I see.
And stay away from all pills and other medications, except those prescribed by him.
What does that have to do with the performing arts?
Oh, everything. The preparation for any performance requires discipline. You see, I'm preparing for a baby. With my doctor and the March of Dimes to coach me, I won't miss a cue. Oh, and I already know the most important line.
What's that?
The March of Dimes says, be good to your baby before it is born.
Nothing as damaging to the psyche as being stolid and set in one's ways, poured in a mold, as it were. People should be adaptable, flexible, willing and able to adjust to the demands of any situation. Well, how do you like Walt and Phil? Two gentlemen who have always been honest to the core, and here they are robbing a bank with a skill and finesse worthy of the most seasoned professionals.
Walt! Is it possible?
Sure.
But it can't be this easy.
Well, what are you...
Why are we whispering?
Who can hear us? We're alone in the vault, the cash vault of the Central National Bank.
Look at the money, the money.
Yeah, stacks and piles of money.
Oh, load the sacks.
Yeah, wait now.
What?
Now, just take money we can spend easily. No hundreds, no fifties. Tens and twenties.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, let's not be pigs.
Yeah.
Let's not be greedy.
That's right. This is just to tide us over till we can get jobs.
Right.
Now, let's see. $1 million would be...
That would be 100,000 tens, right. 50,000 twenties.
Yeah, it's a lot of...
All right, just fill the sacks. No. Don't bother with those. Those are only fives.
You know, Walt, I don't know if we can carry $1 million worth...
So we'll take half a million. What's the problem?
Wow. Wow, is it going to feel great?
Yeah.
Not having to ask her for money.
Oh, it's going to be a new world. All right. I think we got enough.
Look, I can still get more.
No. Look, if we run short, we can always come back.
You're right.
Sure.
How much do you think we have?
Half a million.
Quarter of a million apiece. It's not bad.
Well, it'll do for starters. Okay, Phil, let's beat it.
Okay, look. Just hold it a second, Joyce.
Who's...
Pop. That's Pop, the guard.
Yes. Oh. Guilty as charged. Now, don't nobody move. This here gun. You see this here gun?
Oh, yeah, sure. We see it.
Now, this here gun is a .357 Magnum.
Oh, yeah. That's quite a gun. What are you doing down here, Pop?
What am I doing down here? I guess there's something Ben Kennedy didn't tell you.
Ben Kennedy?
I seen you and Kennedy putting your heads together, so I just kind of sauntered over and...
I didn't notice you.
Nobody ever notices old Pop. He just sort of blends in with the furniture. But old Pop here, he notices everybody, and he listens to everybody. Now, why else would you want to know about the alarm system if you wasn't figuring on a heist?
Now, you said Ben Kennedy didn't tell me something. What didn't he tell me?
Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he forgot. But what he didn't say was, if anybody's in the vault after hours, a little red light goes on in the guard's room.
Oh.
Yeah, oh.
Yeah, listen, Pop, what are you going to do with us, huh?
How can you ask that question, son? I'm an officer of the law. I have a duty to uphold.
Yeah, Pop, what'll happen if you turn us over to the police? Now, each of us has a wife, children.
You should have thought of that.
Oh, Pop, don't say that. Now, don't you say that. Not you. That's for those people without hearts, without feelings.
I still got my duty, fella.
Is it your duty to destroy our lives?
Well, that's why they're paying me.
But are they paying you enough, Pop? What do you get, huh? You stand guard over their millions, and what do you get in return? A pittance. You carry a gun on your hip. Your life is always up for grabs. Suppose we were veterans, huh? Ruthless killers, experienced and filled with savvy. Could you have surprised us? No. We'd have been waiting for you, Pop, and you'd have been dead by now.
There's something to what you say.
Yeah, now, Pop, there has to be some give and take in life. You can't be a fanatic, an extremist.
Well, I've always been a reasonable fella. What was that give you were talking about?
We got a half a million in these sacks, Pop.
Are you trying to bribe me?
No, please, Pop, don't get angry.
I'll take half.
You got a deal.
You gotta tie me up now. Put a gag in my mouth.
Now, Pop, you don't have a worry in the world.
How about the dough?
It'll be waiting for you, Pop. You just make a date. Come around and collect it any time.
I trust you, Walter. You've got that look in your eye.
All right. An unforeseen development. But men of goodwill basically can resolve all their differences. We replaced the cellar plate, retraced our steps through the sewers, emerged at the manhole with our tools and our sacks. I went home and hid the money in the safest place in the world until we could make plans to dispose of it properly. And so to bed, where I slept the deep, dreamless, peaceful sleep of the just, until my wife woke me.
Walter, there's been a robbery at the bank.
What? Oh, gosh, how awful.
From one of the guards, you know, that nice old one. Pop didn't come home after his shift. His wife became worried. She phoned, and they found him in the vault, bound and gagged.
Oh, that's terrible, darling. What is the city coming to? A person isn't even safe in the bank.
Well, they said there's nothing I can do, but I am so upset, and I'm so nervous and so angry.
All right, darling. Here, let me make you a cup of coffee.
Keep out of my way. I'm not myself. I explode at trifles.
Hi.
Oh, come in, Phil.
Where's the dog?
It's all right. You can talk. The kids are with their grandparents, and Roxy's upstairs.
Yeah, okay. So, where's the dough?
And this'll kill you. In the garbage can. outside, in the yard.
The garbage?
Yeah, now, Phil, look, they only pick it up Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Is there a safer place for a sack of money, huh?
I don't know where else we could keep it.
Well, I had to stash it somewhere when I came in.
Well, when can we...
Yeah, right now. Roxy is asleep. No one is home. So let's go out to the yard. Hold it.
Who could that be?
What do you mean, who could that be? This is a normal house. We do get phone calls. It could be anybody. Hello?
Bring that money back here. I'll let you get away with it.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yeah. Ben Kennedy, you made a sap out of me, Buster. All you wanted to do was find out how to deactivate the alarm.
Now, Ben, I can assure you...
Look, I went outside to look at the box. The switch had been thrown. Now, who else knew except you and me?
Ben, I can assure you...
I will give you 5 minutes to get here. If you don't, I'll call the police.
All right, Ben. How much do you want?
Are you trying to bribe me?
Well, sure.
I warn you, return the money.
But you can't prove anything.
I can communicate my suspicions, Buster. The police will do the rest. I can have them out to your house in 3 minutes before you can even hide that money.
Now, Mr. Kennedy, I don't know what you're talking about.
Trouble?
Ben Kennedy, he's wise.
Oh, we have to hide that money.
Relax, it's hidden now.
But are you sure that...
Look, where else?
Walt? Oh, hi, Phil.
Hello, Roxy.
I am mad enough to chew nails this morning. Everything goes wrong at the same time.
Now, darling, the bank is not your fault.
Something is wrong with the boiler. There's no hot water. The kids got jam on the Persian rug. And look at how the garbage is piled up in the backyard. Don't you ever notice these things?
Well, dear...
Don't you ever complain to these people? We pay them to remove our garbage.
All right, darling, so they missed out on one day.
I work hard for my money, and I won't let anyone...
Now, dear, aren't you taking this too seriously?
That's because you don't take it seriously enough. If you had to pay the bills around here...
Who are you calling?
Who do you think I'm calling? The scavenger.
But why?
He's going to come over here and do what he gets paid for.
Oh, no, not now.
Why?
Well, because it's Saturday. They don't work on Saturdays.
Hello. This is Mrs. Robinson, Waverly Drive. You didn't pick up my garbage yesterday.
Oh.
I am not interested in your excuses. We have a contract. I want that garbage picked up now.
Roxy.
I don't care if the men are off and the truck is in the garage. Get into your limousine and pick it up yourself. And right now, or I'll do business elsewhere.
Oh, now, darling, you shouldn't have, Phil.
Yeah,
What has gotten into the two of you?
Look, we'll remove it, the garbage.
We'll take care of the whole thing. We'll take it to the dump ourselves.
You do no such thing. I pay a scavenger. Oh, now, who's that?
Well, I don't know, darling. Now, look, Phil and I have some errands to run.
What kind of errands?
Well, you know, men's stuff.
Well, will you answer the door first?
Yeah, sure thing. Come on, Phil, we'll go out the front way.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'm coming.
You Walter Robinson?
Yes, Sergeant, I am.
And who's this?
This is a friend of mine.
Yeah, a friend of his.
Both of you, stand over by the wall.
What is the meaning of this?
You, Ms. Robinson?
Yes.
We got a tip to search the house.
For what reason?
For the money that was stolen from the bank last night.
I'm an officer of that bank.
Lady, that's how it is.
Well, have you got a warrant?
No, but what we have got is probable cause.
Well, I can insist on a warrant. I know my rights.
You'll insist on nothing of the sort.
But I have rights.
What have we got to hide? When a bank is robbed, all employees are suspect, or should be. So go right ahead, Sergeant. You won't find anything.
Okay, boys. Step lively and lightly.
Say, is it all right if I go outside, Sarge?
You know, you look familiar to me. I can't place you. And your voice...
I can go back in the yard, can't I?
What for?
Well, to smoke. Smoke a cigarette. You see, we don't smoke in the house.
You don't? What are these ashtrays for?
Oh, stop it, Walt. Don't try to give people the idea that I henpeck you. You can smoke anywhere you like, within reason.
Just stay put, pal.
Yeah, well... Hey, what's that?
Aha! The garbage truck.
What?
You see, I scared him. He got the truck down here. That's how you have to talk to people. Mm-hmm. You see how he's picking up every scrap of garbage, emptying all the cans?
Well, he can't. He can't do that. He can't pick up the garbage. Not yet.
Why not?
Well, because...
What are you so nervous about? All morning you've been so jumpy.
Yeah, what are you so nervous about, pal? You know, I never forget a face. Where have I seen you before? Maybe my imagination.
It's very helpful of you to cooperate with the police.
Hey, the garbage truck, it's leaving.
What do you want him to do, stay here?
We won't inconvenience you any longer than we have to. You know, I wonder, where have I seen you before? The truck. The garbage truck. It's been here and it's gone. The stuff has been dumped.
Oh, hide it in the garbage. In the garbage. What a great idea.
But where else was I going to hide it?
Look what happened.
Well, the garbage was the only place they didn't search. If I'd have hidden it anywhere else, they'd have found it. It's all your fault.
My fault?
Yeah, why didn't you hold on to the money? Nobody suspected you. You were scared.
Are we going to stand here all day and yell at one another, or are we going to look for the money?
Look for the money?
Yeah.
Look for the money. There's acres. There's miles of garbage. Garbage, garbage, as far as the eye can see and the nose can smell. There's just garbage. How can we hope to find a couple of sacks?
Walt, we are not going to find anything if we don't start. You ready?
They're looking, examining, sifting, poking, probing. They come every day. After all, they have nothing else to do. To the men who work here, Walt and Phil are a familiar sight. A couple of nuts, but nice. And of course, each day the refuse is piled higher and deeper, and the search is that much harder. But whoever said $500,000 grows on trees? I'll return shortly.
You know, when you're making a shirt and you've got to worry about all those different things, like material and dyes and stitches and buttons, and the collar and the cuffs and the label and buttonholes and seams and pockets, and the cut and the style and the fit, there's a lot of ways to miss. But when making shirts is what you've been doing for as long as the Arrow Shirt Company, you don't miss, which is why it's hard to miss with Arrow. Arrow makes shirts that look good, feel good, and fit good, from the collar to the tail. Shirts that look like today, but don't look like yesterday a month after you bought them. Shirts that are worth exactly what they cost, button for button and stitch for stitch. Shirts. That's what Arrow makes and sells more of than anybody else.
It's hard to miss with Arrow.
America's shirt maker.
And in this color, in the pink, Larry Lund. And now, introducing his opponent, in a charcoal frame with sooty stripes, Dirty Harry.
Now, as both men move to the center of the ring, we see Dirty Harry, cocky, confident, harassing his opponent orally with his typical pre-fight chatter. Let's listen. It will not be a clean fight, ladies and gentlemen. Dirty Harry, the more aggressive of the two, mixes up his punches with a barrage of sulfides, hydrocarbons, and, of course, his big closer, carbon monoxide. Lungs, meanwhile, fights a more defensive battle in the hopes of simply outlasting his opponent. And now, as we await the bell, we pause for this message.
Dirty air is out to knock the breath out of you with asthma, bronchitis, emphysema, and lung cancer. Don't take it lying down. Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
As usual, we try to have something for everyone. For those who like stories of bank heists and capers, we have a tale of a simple robbery. For those who seek social significance, we were exploring the changing roles of men and women in our society. And for those who are intrigued by standards of morality, this has been an exercise in the unthinkable. Our cast included Larry Haynes, Terry Keane, Russell Horton, and Robert Maxwell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. Mrs. E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our mystery theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Coming up next in KIXI, the weather outlook calls for morning fog or low clouds with sunny and mild afternoons through Friday. The highs near 70 and lows in the mid-50s. No chance of rain. In downtown Seattle, currently it's 59 degrees. The barometer holds steady at 30.02.
It's the sound of brightened, beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
And the time at KIXI, 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Senate House conferees late Wednesday night agreed on a compromise clean air bill that would delay auto exhaust standards for 1 year. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The agreement reached near midnight. Came after both sides had wrangled for several days on whether to loosen or tighten emission standards for cars. In the end, it was the Senate that won, pushing through more stringent regulations than the auto industry wanted. Under the proposal, 1978 model cars would remain at the level of 1977 auto emission standards, but the restrictions would become tighter beginning in the 1979 model year. The bill now must go back to the full membership of both chambers for a final vote. The legislation could run into an ambush from opponents who may make a last-ditch effort to kill it before the scheduled congressional adjournment Friday night. CBS News continues following this message.
Like to play with a dog, bet you do. And dog, he likes to be played with too. But you can't, you know, cause you have asthma. Be right tonight, sounds like fun. But we'll never catch you going on one. Not as long as you're suffering from asthma. It chokes off your wind, it shortens up your breathing. There are times you just know you're gonna die. But you don't, of course. You can't lie down in bed, so you sit up all night instead. It's no fun being young when you have asthma. No, sir, sure ain't. No fun being young when you have asthma.
Asthma has spoiled a lot of fun for a lot of kids. Fortunately, it can be alleviated and even prevented in some cases. Only a doctor can tell for sure. Your local lung association considers it a matter of life and breath.
Sponsors of the $52.6 billion social aid and education bill, which became the target of President Ford's 59th veto, say they believe they can muster sufficient votes to override and make the measure law. The president said he vetoed the bill, providing money for the Departments of Labor and Health, Education, and Welfare, because it was $4 billion above what he had requested. Mr. Ford said he considered that an unwarranted spending increase. Democratic presidential nominee Jimmy Carter praised the bill and criticized the veto.
It provides good services without any major increases in taxation and taxes on the local taxpayers. Mr. Ford has shown a complete personal insensitivity to the economic problems that human beings in this country have to face.
Carter's theme of insensitivity on the part of the president, one he used in the first broadcast debate and in a number of stumping tour speeches since, drew a response from Commerce Secretary Elliot Richardson, speaking in San Francisco.
It is demagoguery to imply or to assert that President Ford and his administration are any less sensitive to the problems of the unemployed or the needs of people than Governor Carter is. What makes him think that he is more sensitive to to little people than we are.
The Senate Subcommittee on Alcoholism and Narcotics heard that drinking among women, high school students in particular, is on the rise, but that the government is paying little attention to the problem. More from CBS News reporter Lee Thornton.
Of the nation's estimated 10 million alcoholics, 3 to 4 million are women. The subcommittee heard testimony about their special problems, including effects of alcohol on the unborn child. In a test conducted by Dr. Henry Rosette of Boston University, 70% of babies born to heavy drinkers were physically abnormal. Dr. Rosette classified heavy drinkers as those who consume more than 5 ounces of alcohol a day.
Offspring of heavy drinking women demonstrated significantly more growth retardation in length, weight, and head circumference. Congenital anomalies, particularly major malformations which limit development or require extensive medical treatment, were significantly more frequent among infants born to the heavy drinking women.
The hearings were the first ever conducted on the subject of female alcoholism. The subcommittee wants to determine whether more federal money ought to go to programs for the woman alcoholic. Lee Thornton, CBS News, Washington.
Do you know how many double plays were made by Joe Tinker and Johnny Evers in the 4 years they played baseball together? Well, we won't leave this one to chance. It was 54. Plenty more baseball action is coming your way starting October 9th, when CBS Radio Sports brings you radio coverage of the National and American League championships, afternoons and evenings. And remember, you'll hear the entire World Series here, too, brought to you by CBS Radio Sports, over many of the CBS Radio network stations.
Learn the tragic facts about 6 genetic diseases that affect primarily Jewish people and how they can be prevented through screening, testing, counseling. The National Foundation for Jewish Genetic Diseases, formed to combat these 6 known crippling diseases, will provide free information. Write Joan Sampson, Executive Director, the National Foundation for Jewish Genetic Diseases at 608 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York, 10020.
A 6th Japanese fishing boat has been reported missing, presumably seized by the Soviet Union. Officials in Tokyo say the seizures may be retaliation for the Soviet MiG supersonic fighter flown to Japan by a defecting pilot. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
KIXI, Seattle, with the time now is 6 minutes past 11. Currently in downtown Seattle, it's 57.